Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your host, Chris.
And the happy, glorious Jonathan.
Back with us in the Sports Happy Hour. They back again, y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead and introduce yourselves one more time.
What's going on? It's your man, Big B, IDS, RTR.
This is the 15-word assassin. What's good?
So, Glad to be back. Glad to be back, man. I realized while watching the games this weekend that I did not write down any of my predictions, so I was all over the place with my rooting.
We took care of that for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, I wrote everything down before during the halftime of one of the games, just so we could recap everything.
You say that with a sinister tone in your voice like I do.
I think the only one that did horrible was me. I won one game.
Well, we'll get into that. You'll be surprised by the results.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, it's good to have y'all back in. For those who are new to the show, this is the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. If y'all want to hit us up, y'all want to give us any comments on how the games were, you just want to chip in, let us know. Hit us up at thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @brotherslayman. Or you can call us on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, any joints y'all want to deliver to the show, definitely hit us up. We'll get back at you and, let the listeners know what you're thinking and what's on your minds.
That's what's up. So let's start with this first game.
Yeah, I'm going ahead and take my bow right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go ahead and take my bow. What can I say? It's been a long time coming. I went through the whole Tim Tebow debacle, and now we got Peyton Manning, and it looks like we're on the way to the promised land. We got one more little team in our way, a little thorn in the side, shall say, but it's an awesome feeling right now. I'm trying to savor the moment because I know come next week, it's going to be a no-holds-barred battle between Peyton and, of course, Mr. Tom Brady for the 25th, 30th time, it seems like. But today and right now, it's Bronco time. Peyton actually was not the person who really did it for me as far as carrying the load for this team. For me, I tweeted earlier, there's three people I got to give props to, and that's Denver's offensive line. That's Denver's defense and that Denver crowd, because they frustrated the hell out of Phillip Rivers and that San Diego team today. They weren't able to get a lot of plays off, having to use timeouts early. And that defense was getting after Phillip Rivers early in that game, setting the tone. And had a little scare at the end, but they were able to pull it out. And congratulations to my squad. Loving it.
Yeah, you got almost feel like you got bailed out by the damn Ken Whisenhunt, who was one foot out the door for this game because his offense wasn't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, let's speed up things a bit, probably play some quick pace offense. Oh, let's 17 points in the fourth quarter.
I'm going to tell you, I think in this game, his stock has fallen because his name has been mentioned for some of these coaching jobs. And then after seeing that, there's got to be some owners and GMs out there that has to have second thoughts about picking him up.
No, I definitely agree. I think there are some owners, some GMs out there right now that are kind of scratching their heads, wondering, what took so long to get this offense going. It looked like early on they were trying to stick with the same game plan they used to beat Denver the previous time, which was basically running the ball constantly, trying to chew out the clock and keep Peyton on the sidelines. But, I mean, when you're going into the playoffs, it's a whole different ball game. These two teams have seen each other, you know, coming on the third time today. So, you know, they know everything about this team, their ins and outs, what they're going to do. You know, and Denver was ready. Denver was prepared for what San Diego threw at them early on in the game. And unfortunately, it took Ken Whisenhunt until the fourth quarter to adjust, which, you know, was kind of mind-boggling to me. I'm like, you got Phillip Rivers, who has been playing at an elite level this year. Let that fool throw the ball. I mean, even as a Bronco fan, I'm like, all right, fine. You want to run it like that? Go ahead. Keep on doing that. Fine. Keep giving us the ball back. But Phillip Rivers, like I said, gave us a scare at the end. He made it close. But, you know, thank God that Denver D was able to handle it. Peyton made some nice passes at the end of the game, nice decisions, and they were able to pull it out. So, but yeah, I mean, if they said the Detroit job is quote unquote gift wrap for Ken Whisenhunt to take, but I'm like, if I'm the owner, I'm like, wait a minute. I may have to think about that for a second now.
Oh, no, you got to. That team didn't look that great on offense. I mean, granted, Ryan Matthews was banged up. But still, mm-hmm. Yeah, that Denver defense did show up. I give them that.
DRC was beautiful out there. Dominique Rogers Kamadi played lights out football on that defensive side.
Can you tell me why he couldn't play like that for Philly? Please.
Man, I was sitting there thinking the same thing. But you know what? Once again, I'm going to say that has something to do with our defensive coordinator. They ain't had a ball boys running defensive plays for us last year. So, y'all offense, I mean, y'all offense played beautiful.
I mean, that's why I got to give props to the O-line. They opened a lot of holes. They were able to run that rock and pound the rock and basically beat San Diego at their own game. You know, they took time of possession. They had the advantage in that. They ran the ball damn near 40 times for over 100-some-odd yards. Peyton Manning did not get sacked. They kept him clean the whole game. That offensive line, man, played their butts off. They are the people who don't really get acknowledged, which is why I want to take the time to acknowledge them because they have done an outstanding job this entire season of keeping Peyton clean, opening the hole for No'Shawn. And to me, they are going to be the X factor against New England come next week because they have to keep Peyton upright and clean. You have to. Otherwise, that whole offense is going to fall apart.
I had only one issue with Denver, particularly in this game. I think this is probably the only game of the year that I really just really paid attention to them. If I'd never hear Peyton Manning say Omaha one more time, I swear to God, it won't be soon enough.
That's the aura of Peyton Manning. I mean, it's kind of funny because I'm with you. When he played for the Colts, I didn't really realize how much he does this crap and goes up and points to the north and does all that. He does it every fucking play. Like, I'm like, dang, everyone. Take a break then sometimes. Omaha, Nebraska, like, nigga, what?
Right. The crowd gets so quiet for him, so it's like.
And it's funny because he asked for that. He's like, can the crowd just shh when I'm on the field?
Right.
And hey.
Shit, I thought whatever he was mic'd up or something because I'm like, why is it so clear? I can hear him.
Right.
Sorry, kryptonite is coming next week.
No, no, we'll see about that one. But, hey, you know what? Before we even move on to the next game, want to give props to – got to give props to Mike McCoy in San Diego. Nobody thought they'd make it this far. They fought hard. And, I mean, going into next season, they are a team that people are going to have to look out for. I'm sure they're going to make some decent moves in the offseason. They got the draft coming up, too. So
it'll look good. Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's going to be a nice receiver, although you don't need to show off when your team is down 10.
Exactly.
You know, score the touchdown. Thank you. Like, look at my jersey. I'm like.
Hold on till you tie the game for that one.
You're right.
They could still use some more pieces on their defense, though, because Manti, I mean, once they lost him, it was just like, okay.
Yeah, it felt bad when he was like, oh, they were getting banged up in that game.
Yes, they were.
And a lot of them, you know, by their own teammates. Exactly. But I want to give a quick shout out to our sister Peaches. She hit us up from the last podcast, said, "What up, my brothers? This is your sister from San Diego. Thanks for the props on my Chargers. We, meaning the Bolts, doing big things this year and loved your show. Y'all had me rolling. I will definitely tune in next time. Until then, Bolt up and Thunder up."
Well, unfortunately, I'm sorry that your team had to be knocked out like that. But you know what? Like I said, props to your squad. Y'all did big things this year. Hey, former Bronco as your head coach, I can't be mad at Mike McCoy. I got nothing but love for Mike McCoy. But you know what? They're, like I said, they're moving in the right direction. And Phillip Rivers is back to being elite Phillip Rivers in my book.
Yeah, he can keep it up, you know, with Ken Whisenhunt being gone. But, I mean, they are moving in the right direction, so I will give them that.
They are.
Did they confirm Manton Teo's concussion? I mean, did he actually hit somebody?
Well, they said that his girlfriend helped him out.
I saw that, and I was like, y'all going to leave him alone, man. Now, it looked like he took a knee to the helmet or something from one of his players. But I don't know what happened after the game if he was concussed or not. I'm not sure about that.
Will y'all please leave Manti alone, man? Come on.
And he said he got distracted. He heard his girl in the sidelines chair and turned left.
That dude was never going to live it down. Matter of fact, I think they did an article on him in the Post today. And, you know, he was like, you know, he's happy that, you know, the Chargers' only concern with him is what he does on the field. I'm like, okay, believe that if you want. Miss a practice or something, see what happens.
That's why you don't put that kind of business out in the airways. You keep that kind of scandal to yourself.
That's why you don't get catfished, and that's why you don't date anybody over the internet.
Well, if you get catfished, you don't tell the whole world I got catfished.
My thing is, first, this has nothing to do with sports, but I'm going to just throw this out there. If you're going to date somebody online, you better damn well at some point physically meet this person. I don't want to hear you in love and you ain't never met. That don't make no sense. That don't compromise in my brain. So for those of y'all out there with that, I don't know. Miss me with that one, man. I don't know. Yeah, I'm old school.
We old school. They don't. The new cast don't do that. They want like, I want to get to know you online first and everything about you. Then I'll meet you and then hope we got some chemistry.
I just hope if he tell the Chargers he bringing a guest to a cookout, she shows up. Because if she don't, it's going to be problems.
Oh, my gosh. That is great.
That's right. So thanks, Peaches, for the comment on the last episode. We appreciate it. And good luck to your Chargers next season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And on to their opponent next week.
Rival.
Yeah, we got one side of the matchup that the league wants. Got the Manning Brady 28.
Yeah. Man. It feels like it's been longer than that for
Seriously,
these guys.
Seriously, exactly.
Oh, let me just say for the Denver San Diego, Jonathan and I picked the winner correctly. B actually came the closest to the score, but you had San Diego.
Ah, damn it.
In this New England Indiana game, I think most of us wanted Indiana to win just on the strength. I picked it because I was trying to get him some mojo. But Jonathan had that right. But this was – we thought it was – what was Tom Brady going to do? He ain't had to do nothing.
Yeah, this was the LeGarrette Blount show for the ages because, I mean, this – what?
He showed out.
I showed out ain't even the word. Like, this kid just can't – I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Tampa Bay, you got rid of him? Why? He is beasting all of a sudden. Once again, New England just grabbed somebody off the waiver wire, and now they're good again.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's they've been known for doing that for years.
You know things are bad when Precious tweeted, "Damn, Indy, you getting your ass beat."
Dude goes 24 carries for 166 yards and 4 touchdowns.
4 of them things. What?
Brady didn't even hit 200 yards passing.
He had no touchdowns. No, he didn't have to do anything.
I mean, they ran 46 times for 234 yards. I'm like, all right, well, yeah, run it. Make him stop it. Oh, they can't. Well, just here. Keep giving it to him.
I felt like the Colts team was intimidated yesterday because Andrew Luck has no help over there.
I mean, you got a running back from Cleveland that just did nothing all year, but give the ball up to the opposing team. Like, come on now. You're the number one pick. Waste of time.
Yep, definitely. I definitely agree with you, man. Andrew Luck got to get some help, and I'm sure they will work on that this offseason. He has to get some kind of defense. He has to get an offensive line. You got to get another receiver, because as soon as Reggie Wayne went down, that was basically their season. That was it.
Exactly. Those guys need to step it up, and they're definitely going to need another receiver.
Exactly. Exactly. So, but, hey, they tried. They made it to the playoffs again, so Andrew Luck has his team going in the right direction. But, I mean, let's be honest. Nobody really thought they were going to beat New England. I mean, I expected more from Tom Brady, but I wasn't expecting New England to drop 44 points and Tom Brady have no touchdowns. It was like, okay.
No, I was not expecting the running game to take over that game.
That's like crazy. That.
Right.
But yeah, like.
And I definitely didn't expect Luck to have 4 picks.
Exactly.
Nah, well, you know, the last game he had a couple picks and then he wound up turning the game around.
Right.
And making plays with his feet.
I just thought he would bounce back a little bit better.
Yeah.
I thought he'd play a little bit better. I do know, I think they said he has like, double-digit interceptions in his first 3 playoff games. I mean, he himself knows he has to play better in the playoffs because he hasn't been all that great. I mean, he pulled, you know, rabbit out of his ass in Kansas City.
Understatement.
And clearly the guy has some for real skills. But he's definitely going to have to improve on his end, cutting down the turnovers, because that's not helping at all. But you know, the Colts do need some help. They're going to have to get some better talent around him on both ends. You know, but hey, they're moving in the right direction. You know, nobody expected them to make the playoffs last year and now even win a game. So they're on the right track.
I'm going to need him to shave that beard off, though, because he's looking more and more like Bigfoot every time I see that.
Duck Dynasty.
Maybe he'll let it grow till he wins the playoff game.
Oh, good. God. No. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. You're going to be tripping over that shit on training camp, then. Goodness God.
Oh, my gosh. No, but
You know what? With the beard, with the beard, it looks like the first thing that's going to come out of his mouth in interviews is, he looks slow. That beard makes him look like Country Bumpkin, so yeah, I would advocate him cutting that.
That's funny because he's not that. You're like,
exactly.
He looks like he need to be petted.
Wow,
oh, man. But I mean, for Indy's sake, they have shown the league again why you do not give up first round picks, and trade away for running backs. I mean, to me, running backs you can find them a dime a dozen. And trading a first-round pick for Trent Richardson was basically they just gave the first-round pick to Cleveland. He did absolutely nothing this year. Maybe he'll bounce back next year and have a much more productive season. I don't know. But based on what I saw this year, he looked awful.
I think it's him. I mean, he done went to 2 separate teams, had the same problem. I mean, I know coaches are different, working with you different, but I just more so think it's really him.
No, I think it's him, too, because it just seemed like every time I watched the game and he would come in, it just felt like, oh, it's about to be a 3-yard run. I never thought he'd come in like, oh, he going to break for like 15. You'd be like, he about to get stopped.
He doesn't run hard. He doesn't know how to hold the ball. I mean, he kind of like holds the ball like Michael Vick. Here you go.
Right. Just holding it out there for everybody to see.
Right.
Yeah. I hope for his sake he gets it together, because, I mean, this is why people say you don't take running backs that high in the first round. Well,
it only took Donald Brown like 6 years to finally get it going. Maybe Trent Richardson, he got hope. He got some time.
Yeah, I mean, they'll work with him over the offseason, definitely. Because he needs a solid running game, Andrew Luck does, in order to take his team to the next level.
Without question.
Absolutely.
All right, so this matchup, Manning Brady, 112. What y'all think? We know Jonathan is full on. We going. He
I'm biased, so it don't even matter.
Nah, we ain't taking that from you, Jonathan. I have to get you a pick.
All right, look, it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be based off the defensive play. I think both teams will score, you know, a little bit here and there. I see Denver pulling this out, going to the Super Bowl 28-24, on the verge of a last-minute Peyton Manning touchdown. Mm.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
What y'all got?
I'll agree with Jonathan on that one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I gotta agree with him on that one.
I actually disagree.
Brady don't have the weapons, though.
Exactly.
Brady seems to be able to manufacture weapon. He'll probably take the damn popcorn vendor and turn it up to a 200-yard back next week. I mean, dude, he's proving it again and again. I don't know what is going on over there.
I think he got pictures of Peyton or something.
I actually have that game sort of being sort of a laugher going down the stretch.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want it to be. I really want Denver to win it, but I kind of feel like that's going to be a 48-24.
Damn.
You know.
Right? God damn.
I think 10 of those 24 points are going to be gift points coming down the stretch.
Oh, wow.
Sheesh.
Well. Okay.
Look,
I don't want that to be the outcome, but it's just what I feel.
Right.
Oh, no, I hear you.
See, I don't know. I agree with me in some way with Big B that he does have some weapons. I mean, Julian Edelman looked like Dan Westbrook last game. You know, he's still got Danny Amendola. Shane Vereen is a great pass-catching running back. I think it'll be close. I think Denver's going to pull it out. But, man, yeah, this is tough. I'm trying not to go with my bias to not just on the strength of I don't want Tom Brady and them in it.
Right.
But I do think, of course, they're not going to run the ball like that against Denver. I think Tom Brady will have to do more. I expect the Broncos offense to actually play a little bit better. They almost let these fools come back in. They made the plays that needed to be made to, you know, get in the end zone and all that. But I think for Denver to win this game, it's going to have to come down to their running game. For some reason, you have that feeling like when Peyton Manning goes up against Tom Brady, he starts throwing interceptions and missing guys and all of that. But I'll say Denver pulls this out and goes to the Super Bowl. And I'll go 28-27.
That would be a game. And let me just say for the record, both of these head coaches at the end of this game are going to be just mentally exhausted because these are the two hardest quarterbacks to prepare for in the NFL.
They are.
Tom Brady, I don't know how in the hell he performs with fifth, sixth string players and turns them into Pro Bowl players. And then you got Peyton Manning who says a different word every single play. You don't know what it is. He's making hand gestures and crap. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a chess match between these two head coaches. And let me also, I got to give some love to John Fox since nobody tends to give him any love. Granted, he has Peyton Manning, but damn it, he knows how to motivate his players and get them ready and prepared. He did a great job today. You know, managed the game well, kept the clock moving, and, you know, props to him. Got to give him some love.
He's always been that guy to motivate his team.
Right.
And he just had the wrong team last time.
Yeah.
I think if Aaron Hernandez is out there next week, Peyton Manning better run.
Now, I know Denver's your team and everything, but I just want to just ask you, are you really prepared for hearing 2 weeks? I mean, I know you want to see your team, you know, Super Bowl Sunday doing their thing. But are you really prepared for 2 weeks of the most boring interviews given by Peyton Manning leading up to the Super Bowl?
I've been dealing with it for 2 years. To be honest with you, I don't watch Peyton Manning interviews because he says the same thing over and over again. I watch my boys on defense, or I watch what John Fox says every now and then. But Yeah, Peyton. But I will say this. If they do get to the Super Bowl, Peyton will have some interviews and moments where he's funny. Because, I mean, he is a funny dude.
Yeah.
Was on Saturday Night Live and all that jazz. So, I mean, he is a comical guy. And I'm sure if they do make it, he'll have some funny little things to throw out there.
I hope so.
We're going to be bombarded with like Papa John's commercials for days.
Forever.
You know that one. I just hope we get some free pieces out of the deal.
Right.
Yeah, really. All that stuff we got to take.
And now we move on to the defensive side of the ball with probably going to be the lowest scoring NFC Championship game in history.
Well, let's start with somebody who is, from what other people have said, is arguably the hardest quarterback to prepare for.
Okay.
Mr. I'm going to take yo Superman shit and I'm going to do it myself. Colin Kaepernick, I don't know what the hell happened with Carolina today.
I tell you, they just didn't have enough weapons. Cam Newton looked shook out there. He didn't look like he was focused. I mean, when you playing up against the 49ers, man, you got to be prepared, man. They defense go hard. Mm-hmm. Some hard-hitting guys. And, I mean, look, they looking for turnovers. And they got it today.
No, I agree with you, and I think one turning point in the game that was big was the fourth and one or the fourth and goal when Ron Rivera, granted it was early in the game, but he gave Cam Newton the go-ahead to try to sneak it in, and I'm just like, man, against a San Francisco 49er defense, you take the points you can get. I'm like, right. Dude, you don't try all this extra, you don't, I'm sorry, I know you're trying to win this game, but against this defense, fourth and goal, I'm taking the fucking field goal, especially this early in the game. It's different if it's later on and I have to go for it, but this early, I'm taking all the points I can get against this defense.
I think he knew that he knew the team he was going against. It's hard when you're on the one, and he's been a guy who goes for it. He's like, fourth down, I'm on the one. I got a big quarterback. I'm surprised he didn't run it with Tolbert.
But you know what? Sneaking it. I felt like that should have either been a sneak play or they should have just gave it to the running back because, I mean, they defense basically pushed their offense back. I was like, damn. I thought he was in there for a second. But
yeah, I thought he at least try to get him to jump or at least, like, I thought he tried to leap instead of just trying to go in low. You know, but they were off on both ends. Defense was just making stupid plays. You already had the one guy. What they had three personal fouls during the game. They looked totally unprepared for this game.
I kind of was missing. Remember Musi Muhammad? Missing him out there for some odd reason. Like, wow.
You know that that one touchdown that was that they had to review. San Fran. I hate the fact that I'm missing my man's name right now. That you remember the one that he caught sort of towards the back of the end zone, and it was a question whether he got both feet down. He sort of dragged the left, his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Even looking at that in slow motion, I still don't think that was a catch because I just don't feel like. I don't know. I don't feel like. That the first foot that they gave him down, sort of his plant foot, I just feel like it was planted before he caught the ball and then just sort of came up as he dragged the other foot, which in turn only giving him one foot in. But I don't care. You know, I mean, we looked at it, and they made their call.
Yeah, it might have been too close, and they just didn't want to not enough evidence to overturn it. I think that was that Vernon Davis touchdown. But,
right.
Yeah. I didn't think, it kind of played out how I thought. I knew this would be a rough game for Cam, his first game out. You know, they looked all right the first half. Steve Smith got involved. I think the second half he couldn't hold up with his injury. And, I mean, they got shut out. 17-0 in the second half. Just couldn't do Jack. He's looking frustrated, which he normally does. I have to go back and watch his post-game interview because he wears his emotion on his sleeve. Mm-hmm. So he's over on the sideline looking pissed and like, oh, this is so terrible. I'm like, you better wake the hell up, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, you in the game trying to go to the NFC Championship and you got to show up better than this. Props to the San Francisco D, though. I mean, they are the reason San Francisco pulled this one out. 5 sacks on Cam Newton, 2 interceptions. I mean, they were just lighting this fool up. So, I mean, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, they are the Bash brothers. I mean, those two just kill it. They are fast. They are physical. And arguably the two best inside linebackers in the game. These guys are ferocious. So,
but, you know, their defense strikes me very similar to how I feel about how Philly's team was this year, in the sense that they're a team built on momentum. I don't see them being able to grind from behind and pull out games, but if you let them get on top, they're going to just exploit you. You know what I'm saying? And they're quick to get in your head and take you out of your game as well. So I just have them. If you can jump out on them and put them down, I think you can take so much of their momentum away from them.
Damn, I thank you for giving us a little bit of defensive credit. I don't know. I wouldn't even reference our defense and their defense.
Well, I didn't. If you heard me correctly, I didn't say your defense. I said your team.
Well, the team. Good God.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and really more of your offense. You guys had an offense that if you let them get hot at the beginning of the game, they were just going to run away with it. As opposed to if you got put in a 10-point hole, it would be quick for you guys to go into a funk and just kind of hang it up.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, for all the talk about Colin Kaepernick and him being the hardest dude to game plan for and all this jazz, I am so not impressed with Colin Kaepernick. I'm sorry. Call me a hater if you want to. I don't care. But
hater.
Fine. But for all the love this fool's getting, when we used to talk about quarterbacks and talk about, you know, accuracy and all this jazz, we used to talk about quarterbacks, oh, he can't hit 60% of his passes. Well, looking at the stats, Colin Kaepernick hits about 50% of his passes. He didn't even go for over 200 yards today. Is it safe for me to say and call him a quote-unquote game manager?
Well, I mean, he played one of the toughest defenses in the NFL, so.
But still, though, I mean, even with his passing, his stats, his good stats are as brought to him by the amazing ability of his receivers to catch half of that garbage that he throws.
Thank you. Thank
true,
you.
True, but that's okay. A receiver's job to go up
it's,
and get
no,
it.
No, it's not just a receiver's job. A receiver's job is to catch the ball, of course, but some of the acrobatic stuff that Anquan Boldin has to do to pull down some of those passes, are you kidding me? Half of that crap should get intercepted.
Thank you
very
much.
If it wasn't
much.
His physical ability and his athleticism, are you kidding me?
I like him.
I understand you do. You have posters of him in your bedroom, but that's beside the point. You know, and then on top of that, just to put the cherry on the cabinet cake, he's a jackass. You know what I'm saying? Because that move that he did, you know, sort of dissing Cam Newton's little thing he does or whatever, the Superman thing, I swear I just wanted the injury to happen after that. I just don't like that dude, man.
No, that was a little foul. I will admit that. I was kind of like, wow, okay.
I mean, I just didn't understand the point of it. You know what I'm saying? You're up, you have momentum, you're running away with the game. Do your little muscle kiss going back to your sideline. I mean, why go at Cam? I necessarily don't like Cam that much either, but why go at Cam? What was the point?
Teams do it all the time, though.
I dig what you're saying, but really?
Yeah, it is. If you coming into their home field and then you score and you do one of their signature moves, it does kind of like, oh, you trying to toss some shit, basically. You know, right. And I did see the dude from one of the Carolina players who was trying to toss shit. to Colin Kaepernick, and he just pointed. He was like, "Look at the scoreboard," and I was like, right. "Oosh, yeah, you can't really say much about that."
Exactly. But that's the end all be all. You know, you have that. That's the ace in the hole when you're up.
I mean, they had a lot of penalties too, Carolina.
Oh yeah, they were sloppy.
Like, I mean, they just did not look prepared for this game.
No doubt.
No, they didn't. They were very sloppy. I mean, like you said, with Bolden, you know, 8 for 136 yards in the game. You know, he has Crabtree. You know, his difference is he basically has what he needs to succeed. I mean, they're built on running the ball. And when they win the game, it's usually with Frank Gore just getting crucial first downs. I mean, 17 carries, 84 yards. I mean, this dude, I just watched the games, and I'm just like, Frank Gore, big play. That's just what he does. If you shut Frank Gore down, more than likely they're not going to win.
He's like a younger, more athletic Alex Smith.
Right.
Yeah, and they took – that's who they wanted. Because he's a big play guy. And the fact that he can scramble and make things happen with his feet and just keep drives going. I mean, in a sense, if he's managing games, that's all you're asking him to do, keep getting first downs. And that's what he does. But, of course, because, you know, I guess he's likable and, you know, he got McDonald's commercials and all that.
And that damn headphone commercial. If I hear that, you can tell everybody. I'm tired of hearing that damn song.
But he has an attitude like his coach, for real, for real.
Yeah, he does.
No, speaking of that jackass, I'm so glad that he finally got penalized for his tirades and antics. I mean, God damn, that dude's a nuisance.
I don't know. Last week he was looking like Kris Kringle on the sideline. This week he was going on crazy.
I mean, dude, take some notes from your brother, dude. Just be, you know, quietly confident and you know, give humble thanks to going about yourself. I mean, he is such a dick.
He can't help it. And I mean, right now, what, he's got his first three seasons, he's in the conference championship three straight years. I mean, of course, he's going to have every right to talk his shit. But yeah, he does get very animated. And I mean, that's why.
That's why he rubs people the wrong way.
That's why he and Pete Carroll got beef, which they about to go to it again.
Oh, yes. Lord.
After Seattle done. Ooh, that was a good game.
That was an awesome game.
That was a great game.
Oh, my God.
Gotta give love to my man, Marshawn Lynch. And what I love the quote he used.
Beast mode.
I don't run, I get tackled. Holla at your boy.
Hey, can I give a special shout out to Lady Roe for joining the couch with us this week? Next week with us. Please bring your sodas.
Yeah, she hit us up and, you know, gave us a shout out, said she enjoyed the show. And yeah, I saw her her tweet. Bullet was aimed straight for 15 after he came for me early last Monday. I was like, oh shit.
I don't know why I got to get drug into the middle of that battle. I mean, damn. You know, I had to inform them that, you know, my skins are no longer on the couch. We have officially been summoned to early winter camp. Get ready for next year.
Both of y'all just go at her for opposite reasons.
You know what I'm saying?
But man, it was, hey. See, that was a great last drive because I was getting a little nervous for them. Wasn't sure if they're going to be able to pull this out. But like you said, Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson just keeps making plays. And that defense, God, I can't wait for next week. That defense.
Best defense in the NFL.
Yes.
Jimmy Graham, he had a catch, but that was like a late, meaningless catch. I mean, they shut his ass down.
Mm-hmm. Make me think, man. The week before was a fluke. We just didn't want to go to Seattle.
Whoa, yeah, New Orleans just they looked exactly the same as they did in the previous game when they lost this season. They just couldn't get anything going offensively. They were able to move the ball, running it a little bit. But when it came to passing the ball, Richard Sherman and the boys just shut down everybody.
He's a beast, man.
He is a monster. He can talk all the shit he wants because he can back it up.
Yes, he can. And shout out to Percy Harvin for coming in for a little bit.
And then hurting his head again.
Right. He'll be back.
I'm like, don't come back.
He's had migraines since he came into the league. Just retire.
You know, everybody kept bagging on him on Twitter and was like, oh, shit, they go Mr. Glass. I'm he can't. I mean, he's been fragile and the migraines. I'm like, you know what? If y'all make it to the Super Bowl, don't even play. I know you want to play. Just, you know, rehab yourself. Come back next season and try to play a 16-game season, man.
And he might need some Advil migraine.
Oh, he needs a ton of Advil migraine. I mean, the concussions, the head hit, the hits he takes to the head constantly, you know, in addition to the migraines, I don't even know how he still plays this game.
But he took a hit yesterday. I mean, I felt for him. He didn't even have his hand on the ball. And I mean, as soon as the ball looked like it was coming to him, it was just like, boom.
Seahawks, they're not real exciting and explosive on offense. They just get it done. Because when they needed that, they needed to make a drive. They made that drive. You know, Russell Wilson only 9-18.
But I mean, considering the weather conditions and everything, I mean, granted, I wasn't expecting him to have the best game, but he is a guy I'm looking for. Oh, God. The quarterback play in this next game is going to be terrible. He's really? Another guy that I'm looking for that he's got to step up to. He's kind of been in that game manager mode as well. They've just been riding Marshawn Lynch, which I ain't mad at him for. I mean, the Beast gets it done, fine. Go ahead and ride them coattails. But this next game, I think based with the defenses they have, both of these quarterbacks are going to have to sit in that pocket and throw the ball. This is going to be one of them games because running the ball is not going to be an option for either team, I don't think. I think both defenses are shutting down the run, so you're going to have to pass it.
Well, they're going to make them run the ball.
And advantage goes to Seattle, so I got to roll with them pulling that one out. So, well, Russell Wilson, he's just got to improve. He's got to improve. He hasn't been passing all that well. He's been so-so. He's made big plays when needed, as your Colin Kaepernick does, but once again, kind of game manager-ish.
I like Russell Wilson a little bit better.
He's a better leader. Give him that one.
He's a different type, but, you know, I mean, like you said, those. If I have a team, if I got Beast Mode or Frank Gore in a tight-ass defense, I'm not throwing the ball 40 times. I'm not. You know, unless you want to beat fucking the Cowboys on some shit like that. Let's just keep throwing it. Like, no. I got Beast Mode. Beast is getting fed. You stop it. Oh, you can't stop it? Well, I'm riding. But, man, this game, these teams hate each other.
Yes, they do.
I think next week is going to be a body bag game for sure.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco ain't play well in Seattle.
Whoever wins, I hope they can just make it to the Super Bowl because they're just going to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. And we know how much the coaches love each other.
Dating back to their college football days, I'm like, dang, y'all were in the same division in college and then just happened to follow each other to the same division in football in the NFL. Like, God damn, y'all don't like each other, but you can't stay away from each other.
No. And arguably are coaching the two best teams in the NFC.
The two best defenses in football.
Right.
I don't know. They just stuck together at the hip, I guess. But
and shout out to Pete Carroll to being a white man that knows how to age well. Because that dude is, he's in his, what, 61?
He's that old?
Yeah, and he looks like he's like 48. Yeah, 50.
I thought he was in his 40s or like early 50s. I didn't know he was in his 60s. Damn.
I'm not mistaken, he's 61.
He's got a youthful spirit, that's why. He's all about having fun, which I think keeps this team a little bit loose. And I think that's why they love playing for him. He likes to have fun.
He had reverse history. The master didn't get in his quarters. The slave got in his bedroom. Strengthen his genes up. Shit. Nah, but that dude goes. I'm going to tell you what. Once again, I have that game being another. I have it being another blowout. And I have Pete Carroll really rubbing Harbaugh's face in this one. Yeah.
All right, let's throw the scores out there. What we think? What you think, B?
I'm going 52-17.
Damn.
Woo. I'm leaving.
Trying to tell you, dude. And it's going to the funny thing about it. It's going to be the tale of two opposite teams. You got the jackass coach with the jackass quarterback, and you got the quarterback with class and a cool ass coach, then they're going to just calmly walk in there and mop the floor with 49ers and just go out. And the interviews after the game are just going to be so, as a matter of fact, like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we had to go. We had a game to play, so we just got in there and did it. And yeah, we're here.
I'm going 28-10.
Seattle.
Okay. On top. Because nobody's going up there and beating them in Seattle with that 12th man. That crowd is crazy.
What was Seattle's running back that they had?
Sean Alexander?
Was it Alexander?
Not Ricky Waters.
No. I think it was Alexander. Oh, I just have this one image of dude when the Skins had to go up there and play them for the playoffs one year. And he was standing on the sidelines, jumping and clapping like a 12-year-old schoolgirl with that big ass gap in his teeth. I just wanted to just jump through the damn TV. Like,
all they running backs is weird looking though, because when Beast Mode run, I don't know whether he see left, right.
Yeah, his eyes cock like a pistol.
All right, Jonathan, what you think? I know you got Seattle too. What you think?
Yeah, got Seattle pulling this one out. I think it's gonna be a closer game than most. I'm not impressed with either quarterback. So I think Seattle will pull this one out, 17-13. I think it's going to be low scoring and not much scoring.
All right, I think we got to force them on it. I think Seattle is going to win this. 2017, I think it's going to be low. There'll probably be some key plays by the defenses. I think whoever turns the ball over the least will get this victory. But, yeah, I think Seattle having a chance to play the Niners at home, going to Super Bowl, they ain't having it.
Yeah.
Oh, and before we leave New Orleans, what the hell was up with Marcus Colston? One step from going out of bounds, but instead you come in and throw the ball.
I'm speechless. I don't know what the hell to say. It looked like he was trying to be quarterback all of a sudden.
He could have had a Hail Mary. I was like, you got 5 seconds left.
And you got Drew Brees.
And you're like at the 50. What the?
That's called not paying the fuck attention. That's what that's called.
And he had a great game. And it was, but then I was like, that's all people going to remember. Like, what the hell are you doing?
He used the GOAT of the game for that one.
He's not, but the guy. Yeah,
that's how he will be perceived.
Oh, he's going to be like, yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You ruined our chances. Y'all already lost, but he ruined the last chance y'all probably had. But
who that?
Marcus Colston.
I'm being silly.
Yeah, ain't that?
Oh, man.
Who that nation's frustrated, man.
They are pissed off and up in arms right now.
Maybe all right. It's exactly. Always next year.
Exactly. Better luck next year.
Back to work on the levees.
And before we take our break, gotta ask Big B. Jay Gruden is your new coach. What you think?
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, you look, called it, bro. You called it.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna tell you, I'm happy. I'm happy with the pick. You know, I wish I remembered. There was a beat writer for Cincinnati that was just straight sour grapes. Like, you know, well, yeah, you know, Washington, good luck with this guy. You know, he's unproven. He's this, that. And I'm like, dude, are you really upset that y'all just lost this game, right? But, you know, it's cool. I like the dude. I think for what he's shown in Cincinnati, I think, you know, his pass record, I mean, his track record shows. I mean, their offense improved in terms of ranking each of his 3 years. I think in 2011, they were ranked 18th. Then they moved up to 12th in 2012. And this year, they were ranked 6th. So, I mean, Dalton's passing yards from 2011 to 2013 went up 1,000 yards in passing. So you can see he's, you know, he'll coach up the quarterback, and as well as his Dalton's touchdowns improved from 20 touchdowns in 2011 to 33 this year. So I think he'll get in there, and I just hope for God's sakes that RG can just check his narcissism at the door and just listen to somebody coach him for a little bit and take advantage of the tools that he has.
Now, I agree with you, man. And I think this is the kind of hire the Redskins need. I mean, you look at the last few coaches they've hired, Mike Shanahan, they try to bring back Joe Gibbs. They brought in Steve Spurrier. They're trying to bring in all these big-name coaches. You bring in Jay Gruden, has proven that he's able to develop quarterbacks. He did a pretty good job developing Andy Dalton, considering his limitations. I mean, you got a guy like RG3 who has all the talent in the world. And I think the smart thing that Jay Gruden did is he already came out and said RG3 is the starter for next season, no question about it. Don't even ask me about it. So he got that out of the way. I think that shows he has a little bit of faith in RG3 having a bounce back season. I think RG3 will like that, and I think he will get along and work well with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden has mentioned he likes the run option, so I'm sure they'll keep utilizing that to RG3's strengths. But the one bad thing he did, he's keeping Haslett as the defensive coordinator. How, after that defense, was that atrocious? Are you doing that? I don't know. But
I actually don't think that that's going to be the case, because if you listen, they changed his title. They changed his title to assistant head coach. Mm. And I think they're going to have someone else actually running that defense.
Raheem Morris. The name
that's being tossed around.
Raheem Morris. That's who needs to be the D coordinator.
He definitely needs to be a lot more hands-on than he has been. But, yeah, I think something about Haslett's contract, that he can't be demoted, I think it was, that's his contract. But, yeah, he's been actually promoted to assistant head coach, which I think is going to, I guess, sort of not really take the rug out from underneath him, but just kind of leave him of his duties respectfully.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You know, and the other thing that I think that really went under the radar that the Skins did is, for once, with the press conference with Shanahan's firing and the press conference introducing Gruden, there was finally no buffoonery in terms of, you know, when they asked, like, for instance, when Allen was asked, who is running this team? And Allen was like, I am. Point blank, period. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens to this team is going to come through me, and I will answer for it. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to finally see structure in place, and it's good to hear that they're not tiptoeing around the owner to say, you know, the owner and the coach have to go through me to get questions answered. It won't be any directly, you know, going back from the owner to the coach or from RG to the owner. Everything comes through me. And that's cool to finally get some stability in place.
No, I hear it, man. Definitely agree. Like the hire. Get some nice little fresh blood in there. You know, RG3 have had a great season and a shitty season. So, I hope he kind of avoids the camera a lot, just focuses on his game, come back 100% healthy with a new mindset, and, you know, trying to be more of a leader and stop talking about your damn self.
And finally, we won't have no more excuses. Play ball.
Exactly.
That's real. We're going to take a quick break, y'all. We're going to come right back. Got a lot of topics on the docket. A lot of good stuff to talk about. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Holla. What's up?
Live.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour. Let us know what you think of our picks. Let us know who you think is going to win these games next week. Hit us up, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Definitely hit us up and let us know, and we will get back at you.
First off, let's jump into the national championship game. That was a great game, first off. I loved it. You know, that's what you want out of a national championship game. The last of the BCS. Thank you.
Thank God.
Yes. Yes. Strong performance. Again, I don't remember who I picked in that game, but I was rooting Florida State.
Yeah, it was Florida State.
It was looking ugly at first, but coming back down from 21-3, man, and then that last winning drive. I'm like, this is what you want.
Right. I got to give props, though, to Jameis Winston's receivers, because I'm like, that kid Green caught that 5-yard pass and turned that sucker into like a 40, 50-yard catch. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was huge. That was a huge play at the end of that last drive. And then, I mean, you got a wide receiver who's 6'5 and wanting single coverage. Of course, we all knew where the ball was going. It wasn't a secret, and there was no contest. No contest on that one. I mean, the kid proved why he deserved the Heisman. He brought this team back from 21-3 deficit, and, you know, props to him. I know he getting all the love in Florida, too. All the love.
Come on. He's a freshman, undefeated, national championship, pussy on the chain wax.
And he black, too? Oh, my God.
And kudos for him for conducting himself in the interviews and everything with such positive energy and class, and not letting all the crap that happened to him, you know, beat him down, and take it as a moment to sort of beat his chest about, you know, look what you guys did to me and look where I'm at now. He just was just so positive and motivated, you know, afterwards. And just to see him so happy, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't want to turn this into a preacher moment, but young black kids right now just look so bitter and beat down and depressed. And, man, that dude just looks so bright and happy and energetic. You know, it was great.
He's a born leader.
Yeah. I haven't followed his story that closely to know. But, yeah, I definitely see a bright future for him.
Yeah, without question. I think he will be the number one pick whenever he decides to come out and go pro. But for these kids in college, I mean, those are the moments you enjoy seeing. I mean, we tend to forget these are still kids. They're 18, 19 years old. And, I mean, when you see the passion and the emotion they have when they win or lose, I mean, those are the moments you remember. You know, and this is why I encourage a lot of these kids that like to leave early and everything to stay 4 years in college, because, I mean, those are years you will never get back again.
Yeah, it's hard.
I know it's hard to pass with the money all in front of you, but
if you stay and you fall, everybody shits on you.
Yeah,
that's always a funny thing to me with college sports, that they always are talking about, you know, beforehand getting an education, educating these kids, but as soon as they show the ability that they can leave, everybody's like, leave. Yeah. Why the hell would you want to stay in school in the first place? Get the hell on out. I mean, there's tons of guys leaving. Even a dude who's, I can't even think of his name, but who was Maceo's son, who had that nice run trucking dudes for mm-hmm. Auburn. I think he's going to the league. Mm-hmm. Folks, just that's just what happened.
Yeah.
Hypocritical shit.
Student athlete. Ha, ha, ha.
Exactly. And then we had some shit coming out where I guess, you know, there was an incident at UNC where I guess the student athletes basically put in the sense are illiterate and can't read, and read at about a third, fifth grade level. And the shit is really sad. For those who haven't read, it is an article. There is an article out there if you look at CNN. And, of course, UNC is denying, you know, the allegations and all that jazz. But the guidance counselor who came out and spoke, she gave facts And a lot of it, honestly, I believe, because, I mean, growing up in high school, you see the athletes, the jocks who get free passes and basically don't have to do a damn thing and will pass the class. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, athletics is what draws in the money. It's what draws in the revenue. And if you are able to get the best of the best when it comes to talent, you will look the other way when it comes to, you know, little things, grades, you know, money, even though we're not supposed to give them money because they, you know, they broke college kids. But, you know, I'll slide them $1,000. I'm like, it's a sad situation. And it's got to stop at some point because I'm like, I get the money. And this is why money is such an issue and so damn powerful. But at some point, you got to get these kids an education. These niggas can't read past the fifth grade level.
That's right. Some sad shit. Because I already read that joint where the UTEP players, they kicked three players, including their leading scorer, off the team for gambling on collegiate games. You know, granted, I haven't followed back to see if they actually been on their games. But I was like, wow, okay.
I missed that one.
Yeah, that one came by quick. I was like, what?
Once again, damn. These kids are stupid, man. They're not thinking about the big picture. They're not thinking about the consequences that could come. And now, I mean.
Now, let me ask you, Big B, being that you have spent time as a collegiate athlete, you don't have to go in detail or share any previous information. But what is it? What would be your take on it, on this college system going on right now in sports?
In terms of the system, in terms of the grade or GPA?
I would say in terms of. We'll speak in terms of education is somewhat giving the athletes more of a free pass and preferential treatment and just letting them slide in order to get that, basically that money for the college.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm someone that have been around a lot of those players, but I guess I just didn't make the cuts because, God, man, I had a rough road. You know, I mean, I traveled a rough road in terms of having to be on point with my GPAs and, you know, little mischievous stuff that I got caught doing on campus. You know, I had to pay the price for that shit, you know. But, you know, I have seen the other side of it where, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, these guys are pissing away their opportunities, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've always been one that felt, you know, there should be, whether it's the NBA D League or something, there should be something to maybe give some of these kids another outlet other than, you know, doing the dog and pony show, sending them to school if that's not what they want to do. You know, everybody's not built for that. Everybody's not going to be, a student, you know. So give them another avenue to pursue their dreams. Now, of course, the flip side of that is God bless you, because you're probably going to get every penny that you make taken from underneath you, because you're not going to know any better on how to manage it, and you're not going to be well adjusted in life. Because that was the number one thing that I learned in college, was how to be a man, how to live on my own, how to be responsible, for my actions, how to handle shit when I got in trouble, you know, and bounce back and keep it pushing, you know, and you know, just the school of hard knocks is what I dealt with, and it's an invaluable lesson, but it's just not for everybody.
Right, right. I hear that. Yeah, no. I learned the same thing, too, at school. You just learn how to be on your own, to be a man, and take care of your own life and be responsible for them actions. And some people, you know, get some preferential treatment and, you know, we'll look the other way as long as you, you know, bringing in them millions for us. It's a sad state of affairs. I don't know how to fix it when it comes to college sports like that. But, you know, something's going to have to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to have to be done quick, because, I mean, really, the sport is you know, even with the one and done, I think that's just horrible. I think they should do it just like football does it. If you make the commitment to go to school, you know, you're going to have to either wait to your junior class or you have to sit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they should have the one and done rule because, you know, the NBA is watered down. College basketball is watered down. And it's just not fun anymore. It's not, you know, that's why I'm just absolutely another reason why I'm not a fan of the NBA, because it's just the talent level, other than, you know, a small percentage, is horrible.
No, I agree with you, man, and I echo those sentiments exactly. I've stated on this show before that I personally think a lot of these kids do the whole one and done thing simply because they're basically forced to go to school. I think if you had it the old-fashioned way, where you gave these kids the option, you know, of going straight from high school or going to college, you know, or whatnot, I think a lot more of them would actually go to college since they have the option. It's like, you know, I could go to the league right now, but I think when you had the option, you know, to go to the league or go to college, I think a lot of these high schoolers and some of these college kids saw that the amount of high schoolers going to the NBA, they weren't, you know, coming out very well. They weren't developing because as a rookie high schooler, the coach ain't going to want to use you because you're young as hell. So, I mean, you had some of these kids who are high school talents, you know, go to school for 2 years, 3 years and develop their game a little bit and then come out. So, I mean, I agree with you. You got to give them another avenue. I think personally they need to get rid of the whole one and done rule altogether. Now, with the football issue, I know they do that specifically, I believe, due to the physicality of the NFL. You cannot come straight out of high school and go to the NFL. That's impossible.
Right.
You will die. But I think with these kids with the NC2A, I agree with you. I think the college basketball has gotten completely watered down. These kids go to college knowing before they even step foot on campus, all right, after this year, I'm leaving. It don't matter. So every single year, we're looking at new faces. We're not really anticipating the return of any great NC2A players anymore. You know, it's boring. It really is boring. And I agree with you. The talent level in the NBA has dropped. I mean, you have, of course, your LeBrons, your Kobe's, and blah, 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 whatever. But the talent level has dropped tremendously. I mean, even like this last draft was pathetic. The talent level, and even the draft, the quote unquote strong draft that's coming up this season, a lot of these college players are okay.
Yeah, they're not wild.
But they're not wild type players. The last real wild type players that I saw in college was Kevin Durant, Michael Beasley, when those two were dueling back and forth, and that was exciting as hell to watch in college basketball. Mm-hmm. Now, ever since then, to me, it's been boring. Greg Oden was boring.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was fucking awesome. So was Michael Beasley. I mean, these fools were scoring back and forth. But, I mean, they were, to me, their exception to the rule. I like guys like a Tim Duncan. You see guys like Tim Duncan, like an Andre Miller. These guys who were seniors, who come to the league and immediately can just ball because exactly. They develop their game. They know how to play. They know how to play the right way. And coaches trust them. They don't trust these young cats.
It's because that stigmatism now. Like, oh, once you, for some reason, if you're a three or four, you know, third or fourth year guy, well, you've peaked already.
Yeah, I'm like, how the fuck you didn't peak? You've reached 19. Your ceiling. Like, what?
Right. Like, you know, the funny thing, the only thing that's really left for college basketball right now, which is what we used to laugh about, and that is, in my opinion, the NCAA tournament. It's so exciting for me now to see these mid-major schools come in and knock off the big boys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they have the team that's stuck together and they have seniors and all that. And these, you know, these Kentuckys and Carolinas and stuff, they got the one and done players and they have a depleted team or a team that has no continuity. Yep. And I just love seeing, you know, the Davids come in and beat the Goliaths.
I know, I agree with you. And you can see it in college basketball now. North Carolina's not doing that well. Duke's dropped out of the top 10 for the first time in like 20-some years.
Right.
the talent level is dropping. Even with Andrew Wiggins and all his hype, Kansas is like 18th in the nation. They're not that good. So, I mean, for all the hype these cats are getting, I mean, you would think their team would be number one in the damn nation.
These guys are not. They're not coming in.
They
to
ain't
be stars.
Derrick Rose. They're not John Wall. They're not any.
See,
of
look
these
how long it took John Wall.
Player. Exactly.
And John Wall still needs.
Look at Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley fell the hell off.
Exactly.
But these guys don't come in as number one picks. Like, this guy is going to come in and immediately change my franchise for the better. They don't do that.
Kevin Durant was the last one. Well, you could say Anthony Davis, but he got hurt last year. So.
Yeah, man, even Anthony Davis is not like, oh, I'm an all-star this year. You know, but Anthony Davis has done his work. Let me give a shout-out to Daryl from the Straight Outta Low Cash. He hit us up on Twitter. Said, I need for you all on the next show to acknowledge the most underrated team of college basketball, Iowa State University. So we are shouting out Iowa State. Y'all had a 14-game win streak, lost it by Oklahoma. I know you guys play Kansas coming up tomorrow, Monday, I think, which should be a good game. They done a damn thing. So, yeah, Daryl, your team is looking sick.
Oh, yeah, I'll give some shout-out, give some love to Iowa State, them Cyclones. Remember the famous Marcus Fizer went there? Picked by my Chicago Bulls. But, nah, man, yeah, your team's doing well. Ranked 9th in the nation in the top 10. Hey, keep it going. I'm with Big B. I love seeing these kind of underrated schools flying under the radar and doing their thing. And, hey, I'm glad Iowa State's in the top 10. Keep it going. Win the championship. God damn it.
All right. Shout out to all the folks at the Straight Outta Low Cash crew. All right, I know we got this the big topic with Major League, but before we jump into him, I just first want to give props to Frank Thomas, Greg Maddux, and Tom Glavine. Made it to the 2014 Hall of Fame. You know, dudes that did it right.
Got to give a shout out to Frank Thomas, the reason I'm a White Sox fan today.
Big Hurt.
The Big Hurt, baby. Did it with no steroids. He was as big as hell.
Thank you.
And then, you know, Maddux and Glavine. Man, that Atlanta, that Braves team was nuts.
I don't know how many pennants they won in a row, but it was freaking ridiculous. It was like 13 in a row or something. Like, it's some stupid number that would never be broken.
But they never. You just like, but they went to the World Series once.
Yeah.
You know, how the hell you not have like 5 World Series?
But I got to give it to Greg Maddux, man. He was a guy who didn't really have the best stuff. Like, he didn't throw the fastest or anything like that. But the man just knew how to flat out pitch. He knew how to control the ball and control the game. And I mean, shit, he played till he dominated till he was like in his late 30s, early 40s. I mean, and then Tom Glavine, what do I need to say? The man is just a beast. He just flat out fireball through the, and he'll just throw fastballs all day
and
kill you.
Hit him.
Yep. I dare you to hit him. Keep throwing it. And his location was awesome. He could throw the ball like on the cusp of being a ball, but it was not. It was a strike. And you're just like, damn, how the fuck did he pull that off? But they had probably two of the top two pitchers for a while. Throwing Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones. They had a squad. So the fact that they weren't able to really come out with a World Series is a downer.
I think they had one, but not multiple.
But their pennant record will never be broken. And yeah, congrats to guys who did it the right way. And, you know, those are the players who, you know, were the true role models of the game, you know, and got kids wanting to play the game. Now kids don't want to play anymore because everything is steroids and whatever.
So, arbitrator reduced A-Rod's suspension from 211 games to 162 games. Full season now. Of course, he's fighting it and is just going to appeal and try to take it to federal court. So, are y'all happy with this final decision? He's banned for a full year. You happy with it?
I don't think nobody really cares. I mean, this guy, for real, I'm just tired of hearing about it. Let's play ball and move to the next. He's holding the Yankees back, and I'm not even a Yankees fan. But, this, I mean, he's lied. He's very, very sneaky. Don't nobody care.
I'm with you, brother. Nobody gives a damn about A-Rod anymore at this point. I'm just tired of hearing his name. And I like you said, let's ball. Let's just move on to the next season. I heard he's going to try to attend spring training, which is just like, oh, my God. just take your fucking suspension and go.
Right.
He don't want to get you've probably made $1 billion in your career already. Just chill for 1 year. You can't take a year off, nigga. Go enjoy yourself. Have some sex with your wife. Chill with the boys. Go travel. Do some. It's not like he's broke. I don't know what he's trying to prove personally. I know he's on his wall. I didn't take. Dude, it's already come out. You've used steroids when you were with the Rangers. I don't give a damn if you used it with the Yankees or not. You're a user, period.
To me, he's a very overrated player. I mean, he didn't live up to the hype once he left the Rangers and went to the Yankees anyhow.
He's garbage in the playoffs.
Right.
Period.
I think he's trying to play because it's weird. He loves the game. I think it seems like a lot of his peers are happy because, you know, I think they finally gotten to a point where they're ready for all the steroid and HGH crap to end in their sport. Because I'm sure they're tired of having to answer the questions of, oh, you playing pretty well. Are you using? And this is a guy that a lot of people hate because he came into the sport talented as hell. And they're like, why do you need to use?
Right.
I mean, I had a boy who played in the minor leagues. He seen cash use. He didn't use himself. But, I mean, it's pressure, man. I mean, you got these guys who got trying to make all this money. And, you know, especially with the minor leaguers, you don't even know if you'll ever get a shot to go to the major leagues. Oh. So a lot of them, it's just that pressure to just get a little bit of an edge on the next guy so I can move above him. And, you know, that's what happens. You get busted and, you know, screws up your career. But I don't get it either.
Well, and of course, he's going to get told on tonight. I taped that. I got to watch him at some point. That's 60 minutes where I wonder how much he got, how much of a leniency he got to come on to 60 minutes and be like, yeah, I gave A-Rod everything. He took steroids, HGH. I shot him in the ass, all of that. Throw him under the bus. This is perfect time. Like, oh, this is perfect timing.
Yep.
Like yesterday it comes out, oh, he's suspended, is reduced. On Sunday, Anthony Barr speaking on A-Rod cheating. Like, what? How the hell?
A-Rod get everything he deserved, let another man shoot him in the ass.
You know, A-Rod is scared of needles, so you know, he asks me to do it every now and then.
Right.
I saw that his goal was to, you know, to be the first person in the 800 home run club. I'm like, all right. Question on this. Should the Yankees bite the bullet and just waive him and just eat the $61
million? Yes. They can afford it. Yes. No. Just rid
they
yourself.
Can afford it?
Rid yourself of him. He's a nuisance and a problem. Just get rid of it. Just period. When you got a problem and it's just right there, you got a thorn in your side, you take it out and you throw it away. Get rid of it. Just toss him to the side. And as far as I'm concerned, I know his teammates will publicly back him. I don't think these fools even want to deal with him anymore. They're done. They lost Robinson Cano. We don't want A-Rod back. Let's just move on. Move on to the future.
It ain't like, hey, we'll just eat 1 year, $15 million. We're going to eat $61 million. I mean, he's going to get it anyway. But I shouldn't be like, hey, I'm not just going to give you this damn money for free. Because clearly if he can play, he's going to play. You know he's going to come back after next season and then try to play.
Right. I think it should be mandated to just pay the dude and walk away. I mean, you've had the luxury of having more money than God to throw around. So
thank you.
Just pay it and, you know, you and your friends just enjoy it.
Thank you.
That's like how they say in basketball, you live with the jumper, you die with the jumper.
Yeah.
You know, you live with stacking your team with these questionable players or whatever. Now die by it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. The second part of that now is with the whole Hall of Fame voting, and we saw Dan Le Batard gave up his Hall of Fame vote and has now officially lost it. Do any of these guys deserve to get in? I mean, I guess it's like, how long do you not put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in? We know Barry Bonds used, but he can be like, nigga, you ain't never test me positive. Do we leave him and Roger Clemens out because they cheated at some point in their career, even though these guys are Hall of these are first ballot Hall of Fame worthy players?
For me, until Pete Rose gets in, don't let any of them in. I'm sorry, because Pete Rose never used any performance enhancing anything. He bet on baseball, man. He gambled. So what? As a player, he is a Hall of Famer, no questions asked. And until his ass gets in the Hall of Fame, none of these PED users deserve to get in the Hall of Fame because they cheated. Period.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's a personal issue with Pete Rose because he should have been in the Hall of Fame for all he did for baseball. Michael Jordan betted on basketball.
Thank you. And first ballot all the way. Kobe raped a white woman. Quote unquote.
First ballot all the way.
And he going to Hall of Fame, no question. Everybody's done something wrong and ain't nobody, there's very few people that have a squeaky clean career with they just done absolutely nothing wrong. Brett Favre was an alcoholic and a drug user. Right. But I mean, people make mistakes, man. You move on and you remember the great things they did for the sport and you don't dwell on the shitty things that they did. Unless their life is just completely crap and they're always, you know, in trouble with the law. But I'm like, if they've made mistakes, clean themselves up, move on from it.
Except if they use PEDs.
Sports is crazy because, I mean, they want their athletes to be role models, but then the MLB don't want to be a role model and say we can learn to forgive and forget.
Exactly.
Right. It's these old-ass writers. I get tired of them old dudes. You know, because I read, once you get it, you can vote. So it's like, you don't have to be a sports writer anymore. As long as you got the vote, you keep it. So you could be a trash man afterwards. You stick it to vote on the Hall of Fame. What kind of shit?
Hall of Fame should be left up to the fans.
The fans and like some players. How come we don't get any ex-players, ex-managers, something?
Exactly. Sports writers, really?
Yeah, and I'm with like with Pete Rose. I mean, he cheated as a manager, not a player. But like I've said,
gambled. He didn't even cheat. He gambled on like the game. I guess that in their eyes is cheating. The man was just placing bets. Yeah,
but like I told you before on this show, he ain't getting in until he's dead.
Well, then that's when Barry Bonds and them need to get in, when they dead.
I mean, I think even though it's sort of a cop out and a way to not have to address these players head on in terms of the steroid era players, I think that just one of the best solutions that I've seen is almost in a sense put them all in together and just have the underlying story, or if there's a way you can configure the hall to just sort of have them all in the same area or same wing or whatever, and just put them all in together and tell the story about what happened. Because again, everybody's hands is dirty, including Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They, to me, they turned a blind eye to this as long as they could,
mm-hmm.
until reporters got this stuff out there. And now they had to scramble to sort of clean up their own mess and sort of turn it around and say, hey, shame on you players for doing this shit that we kind of knew you were doing anyway.
Well, Barry Bonds has more votes than Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, and I'm missing that issue with Craig Biggio. I think Craig Biggio
should be in.
Yeah.
Right. He ain't in. So
whatever. All right, we're going to end this on some NBA talk. First off, let's go to Mr. Immature, J.R. Smith. This untying nigga's shoes during the game and then getting called out by his coach and the league. And then I'm going to go ahead and do it again.
He did it three times. He did it once to Dwight Howard. I seen all the footage. He did it once to Dwight Howard. He did it to Sean Marion, and then he tried to do it to Greg Monroe, but he missed.
Greg Monroe was like, yeah, I see you.
And then it comes out, and he basically said the Knicks betrayed him by releasing his brother. Let me just, for the record again, dude, your brother is sorry. He was the worst player in the NBA.
He's the only dude that can make Stacey King look good.
I mean... Aww. Thank you. Like, come on, man. Your brother wasn't that good. If your brother was that good, he would have got some run when Raymond Felton and everybody else was getting hurt. Clearly, they don't think that highly of him. So they got rid of him and picked up a big man that they've been needing for weeks.
Yeah.
So for all, and then he finally played last night. J.R. Smith is a head case. The Knicks were retarded for giving him that three-year deal.
3-18
trying to
deal.
Trade him already in the first year of it. Come on, man. I mean, clearly it was a bad deal. Nobody's going to take it. Nobody wants the headache. And, I mean, you see why nobody was rushing to sign him in the offseason.
Hell no.
Well, if you sign me, you got to sign my brother, too. What kind of shit is that?
The Knicks just giving people favors. That shit back going to backfire on that ass. Oh, my God. And then what else with the Knicks, since they beat Miami without J.R. Smith? I have to say I was loving them Spike Lee memes all fucking last week with them hashtag Mama Spike. It just was hilarious.
He looked god-awful, man. I don't know what the hell Spike's doing anymore. He's losing his mind. He need to stop because...
He's lost it.
Like DJ Lance Rock. But you know, any type of New York Knick memorabilia clothing he gonna get. I give it to him. He rep his team. He don't be giving a fuck.
He rep his city, boy.
I love it though. And so that shit was, I was like, what is he rocking?
I gotta ask, what did y'all think about the Brooklyn Miami Heat game with the nicknames on the back of the jerseys? Was that cool. The most ignorant shit you've ever seen?
I thought it was real fucking cool. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was real. I kind of tuned into the game late, so I don't know how much they actually showed of everyone's names. But I actually thought it was pretty cool. You know what? I thought it was cool in the sense that for the NFL to be so stiff and unwavering in their approach to everything with the evolution of their game, it's so cool to see David Stern be so innovative and be willing to try stuff to promote the game of basketball.
My only issue with it was that it was a regular season game, and it just it was kind of randomly chosen. We'll do Brooklyn and Miami. Like, for what?
Because them niggas got nicknames.
Had it been I personally like it for the entertainment aspect. I think it should be something you use for like the All-Star game. I think you make the All-Star game, you put whatever name you want on your back.
Well, I think that would be all teams.
Right. They should have just picked a week and done it for the whole.
Exactly. That way, and done it for everybody.
Right.
You know, but they scheduled the game because he had two teams and nicknames. I was like, everybody got one. So, like, all 12 of them niggas, like, I'm going to get a nickname too. I'm like.
Even if you ain't playing, you get one.
No.
And like, you know,
I'm like, no, he don't. We don't call him by his nickname.
The actual way that I found out about the game was on Twitter. I saw Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, and he sent out a tweet saying that he wished one of the old Trailblazers teams, you know, were still assembled to have their nicknames on there. Because, I mean, they had some comical characters back in their day, you know, so that would have been cool to see that. And, you know, that's what actually brought my attention to the game. But I thought it was good. I really did. They just should have, again, let everybody have a chance at it.
The NBA is trying. I give them E for effort for trying stuff like with that and the Christmas jerseys. I don't like neither one of them. Don't make niggas wear them ugly ass jerseys for Christmas ever again. The nickname, it's about your team. I'm for it. It's about the name on the front, not on the back. And stop kissing LeBron James' ass.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Look, I know he's the best player in the game right now, but you know, you wouldn't have done it for anybody else.
King James.
But you know what?
Sure, we'll do it with LeBron James.
The King, of course.
The Christmas jerseys was horrible.
Am I the only one that felt? I just felt that those Christmas jerseys were just an audition to see how the NBA could move towards putting advertisement on the jerseys.
I'm with you on that. It was all that talk about it for a while, and them having sleeves. I can totally see that.
Man, it didn't look right.
It did.
And then, you know, what's the idiot boy's name? It'll come back to me. It'll come to me. What's big man? Damn, left of Orlando, went to the Lakers.
Dwight Howard.
What's up with that? That dude had an extra small joint on.
Oh, he always do that, man. That's him.
Dude.
That's him.
Oh, my God.
That's him. He did it at the Lakers. Did it when he was with Orlando.
But with the sleeve, with the shirt with the sleeve, that shit looked extra crazy.
Yeah, he like called himself before chocolate shoulders. Or something. Well, I mean, he like having baby mamas because I seen he got like five of them or something.
Sheesh. In county.
I know. I'm like, damn.
I just think they'd be turning his little silly ass out.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know y'all brought this up on y'all indie show. Speaking of baby mamas, look, I have not been blessed in my single life to be around all these fine women. But come on, man. I'm wearing a damn rubber, man. Wade, come on.
That's crazy.
Look, and then the funny part to me is, first of all that bullshit, y'all was together, and he fucked around. But I'm like, when Gabrielle Union got with him, he was technically still married to his wife.
Right.
So, and I'm one of them firm believers that if you get with a guy via cheating while he's cheating on his spouse or whoever, what makes you think he ain't going to cheat on you?
Right.
There you go. I was only wondering, like, when she got the news that he had this other child out there, did she, like, go into that Deliver Us from Eva character and just drill the shit out of him?
Oh, she let him have it. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
She had to. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I know she probably told, you know, I know she found out way beforehand, of course. But then it's like, all right, look, nigga, this shit about to come on. It's about to hit. They PR team is like, how are we going to handle this? Because we got to make D-Wade look like a great father.
Right.
And
I think what they should have did, again, beforehand, that she should have just took her from the approach of, oh, I way knew about that long. Oh, y'all thought I didn't know about it? Yeah, I way knew about that, you know, and just kind of took everybody's thunder away from her from having her look stupid.
Yeah, especially came out with her new show coming out, and she's tried to, you know, she tried to do the PR spin on it, but it's like, I'm in the mindset like, hey, you was fucking him when he was with somebody else, so I guess it's just karma.
Yep.
So now he got a kid. Where the fucking rubber, man? I'm not with this new age. I'm team leave it in. No, I'm not, nigga. Team pull out nut on your face or your ass.
Thank
every
you.
Time. Like, why? That little 5-second nut is going to cost me like 10th hour a month? Hell no.
Man, I'm team. Take that condom with you when you leave.
Right. Tie it in a knot, throw it in your pocket.
Exactly.
Have a good night.
Bring that joint to the sewer somewhere.
Sheesh. Out here, I'm like, man, even mm-mm. they run in tail. Like,
man, turkey basting is real.
Yeah, you better believe it. Yeah, despite what other people say. Lord.
Before we head out, we got a last joint. Did y'all see Dennis Rodman looking crazy?
You talking about the week that he signed with Detroit?
Nah.
Because it hasn't stopped from there, so
he's been quiet until now.
Man, I was so fucking embarrassed when I saw him cursing and carrying on.
I couldn't make out what he was saying.
Thank you. Like at a point, I'm kind of like, nigga, what the fuck are you talking about,
fellas? He spent most of his time in North Korea. I'm quite sure. Pipe.
I mean, with, you know, because he has this deep raspy voice as it is.
Yeah.
It's just every clip that I heard was like, and I was like, is he speaking English or what does he do? And but look, if y'all get to see that clip again, look at the players behind him. Like, man, this dude gonna get us locked up over here in Korea.
Telling you,
and the dude beside him kept grabbing his arm like, all right, Dennis.
Yeah, like. It almost looked like it was like, enough, nigga.
Oh, that was Charles Smith. Yeah, everybody was like, why is Charles Smith there? Well, I see my own. I saw it on Jimmy Kimmel where he was like, he actually wrote down part of his rant so everybody could read it. But I am on one like, yo, America does not fuck with North Korea.
Nope.
And if he going to do all this shit like they going to get ridiculed forever and their lives going to be in jeopardy. I'm like, nigga, I'm not going to no game to support you.
No.
Fuck all that. Like, that's what you want to do? I don't understand it, but hey, but no, I'm not doing the exhibition game. You paying me like $10 million that, you know, that maybe I can deal with the ridicule if I'm set. But, I mean, come on. Kenny Anderson.
Like 40, 50-year-old players. And they lost.
They lost?
Yes.
They had to lose. That was a stipulation. And if y'all make us look good, we're going to start killing.
And then the worst part about it is, you know, like you said, America ain't fucking with North Korea, but did y'all see that pistachio commercial when they making fun of them?
Yes, yes. I saw that one. I'm like,
keep on messing around.
Exactly.
It'll be a missile heading this way.
Well, at least we know Dennis Rodman got his home over there.
We know he got a home. Yeah, he's clearly getting paid off it because I'm like, yeah. So half of America is saying he's a bad person for doing this. But then for some reason, these big businesses are like, hey, we'll make some money off you. We'll pay you to talk about you going to North Korea.
He looks strung out, cracked out, and he need to go in a hole somewhere and just remain.
And this just almost reminds me of back in the day when you had like the king and the royal gesture. You know, it's like Dennis just looked like he's going over there to just do this buffoonery routine, you know, to make the king smile and laugh and going about your business.
The king with a bad haircut.
Right.
Holding that cigar and going at dude like, what the heck?
And then he said he was drunk. Clearly you were on something, nigga.
You don't be drunk and go on national television. That's very smart of you, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we want to thank y'all for coming on the show, man. If y'all want to go ahead and plug yourselves, Twitter, and your show.
Go ahead, Big Beef. You start it off.
Oh, okay, cool. Thanks, fellas. I want to thank y'all for allowing us to come and join y'all again. Y'all can get at me at the In Deep Show 215.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. The Twitter.
Oh, wow. And I'm your man, Big B. You can... you can catch me on the In Deep Show or Recap to Recap, and you can catch up with me on Twitter at In Deep Show B. And I think that's the only way to catch me right about now. Unless you got somebody for me, then I'll give you personal cell phone numbers.
No, I don't do that either.
Heck nah.
Moody does it. I don't know how he do it.
Moody has multiple phones.
You know he does.
He got that throwaway joint. Get too hot, he just tossing in the sewer.
That's right. So
no doubt. But no, I definitely appreciate you letting us get on and get our thing in, you know, back to back. And so we can follow through on some of these games. And hey, I am always down to spit my limited sports knowledge to you all.
Oh, no, man. We definitely appreciate having y'all on. Definitely like having some intellectual, you know, intelligent brothers on the show. It's always welcome on here. Hey, man, y'all welcome back anytime.
Oh, yeah. We enjoy talking sports, man, with you. You know, it's all about that support your own. Mm-hmm. Got to give a shout out to Casino from Casino's Corner. He shouted us out as well. Gave us some love and enjoyed it.
Show for show.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, please y'all support the In Deep Show. Got some great stuff on there.
No doubt.
Y'all crew is hilarious.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Definitely try, man. We trying to put smiles on people's faces and help us out. Help out what we can, you know. Whether give you a little bit of knowledge or Mark give you a little bit of false information to make you go to work and look stupid the next day. We do what we can.
So, yes, please check them out. Check them out. As for us, you can always find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. We are part of the Black Is Network of podcasts, so just search for Black Is and you will find us there. You can also go to the website, blackisonline.com. If y'all want to hit us up directly, you can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @brotherslayman. You can always leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely appreciate y'all continuing to listen. For y'all new listeners, thank y'all for tuning in. And please continue to spread the wealth and spread the love and tell your mamas, your daddies, your sisters, your brothers, your aunties, cousins, uncles, dogs, cats, chickens, fish, geese, ducks. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
We dedicate this to these people out here getting banged. deserve the money, it's reality. Never found a look like that you can't evaluate. See, I got things like, yeah, I need to situate. I got a fresh ass car with some gloss paint. People walking down the street until they face thing. I got a cops out here having big things. As I said, it's to the crib with the sachet. In the room with the shot with the big tank. Don't get mad, cause you just came. Just came. Get your money, get your check, what you gon' do today? Just say, hey, I wanna get paid, get it, my man, we need to get back like the rebate. Committed, need to step up like the home plate. My man, know what you know about the Great Lakes. We contemplate on getting money like the sweet fakes. Sipping dark grapes, party in the dark shade. You see the niggas go chillin' like a ballet. Ma, and bit it ride like a Harley. Money maker, the green go suave. Hey, we ain't play that like arcades. Every day the holidays, stay paid. Celebrate the holidays with the money. Ain't about the race, you need to stay away. Somebody said the radio would never ever play. Some of that Detroit Motor City foreplay. Honestly, earning my dough, keeping it real, y'all. Counting my cash, showing you how to boss ball. I never thought that we would make it up this far. Gripping my cream color Cadillac, North Star. Detroit Motor City finest is for y'all. This is for my ladies, get out, chill at the ball. This is for my ladies, get out, chill at the ball. When I was a young boy, telling my daddy's nuts. All I could hear was some crime and dope cuts. Growing up thinking I was nothing but a glut. Another day, another book, another slut. All I gotta do is get paid. Broke down, don't stop. Hey, what you say? Get this money. If they say, what you gonna do today? Just say,